listening to the Puyallup Native Radio Program. Audio files are available online at nativetalk.net. Be a part of the program by emailing us, podcast@nativetalk.net. And now, your hosts, Cliff and Brandon, who include no saturated fats, no cholesterol, no chlorofluorocarbons, no smoking, alcohol-free, no artificial flavors or colors. Funny how with all that going for us, we're still bad for you. Now grab your nets and let's go fishing.
I almost didn't have my my little helper sheet with me, but I found it.
You? Unprepared? Never.
I knew where it was. That's how I found it. So anyway, good morning and welcome to the NativeTalk.net radio program. We're so glad you could join us this morning. Mostly I'm glad Brandon could join us. He finally woke up from his deep, dark slumber.
I woke up at 6 a.m. I have children.
Uh-huh.
Some of us have responsibilities.
6 a.m. I don't believe that for a second. Anyway, the email, if you want to chime in with comments, podcast@nativetalk.net, where we'll read whatever you've got to say on the show during listener mail. You can always visit us online at nativetalk.net, where you can download all of our past shows. And we got a YouTube link where you can see a few videos of us doing the show, not too many, because Brandon never wants to record.
Apparently this is the Rag on Brandon show.
That's because you brought that upon yourself, my friend. Anyway, you can just do a search for us on YouTube, nativetalk.net, and our channel will pop up right there for you. So you mentioned you have children. What are you doing waking them up so early in the morning this time of year?
No, I wake up at 6 because I'm an old man and I fall asleep during TV shows.
Okay. But, so, I mean, your kids are waking up in the morning, though, right?
Oh, of course. Yeah. They started, we used to have their bedtime at 9, but we moved it back to 8 o'clock for two reasons. More sleep for them and more time without kids for us. You know, win-win. Okay. So they ended up getting more sleep than they need now. So they're waking up at like 6:40, 6:45 on their own without an alarm clock.
And are they going to school? Did they start school?
Yeah, both are in school now. My little youngest he started kindergarten and my oldest is in fourth grade.
Are they getting homework yet?
They opted not to do homework in my school this year.
At all?
For the upper elementary. So like fourth through eighth grade gets no homework at all.
What?
They do all their work in school, and then any like long-term projects or research papers, they have to take that home, but there's no like weekly spelling homework or whatever.
So when they show up at home, they don't have any homework.
Nope, no math sheets, no nothing like that.
Okay, I think that's crazy, but a new study has revealed that elementary school students get 3 times as much homework than is recommended for children their age.
Wow.
This study, which was published in the American Journal of Family Therapy, explored the issues of homework and family stress by surveying almost 1,200 parents. And what they figured out is...
it's like a school. It's like a small school.
Yeah, but it's like all over the place. You know what I mean? They didn't interview like an entire like one school, and the parents are like, yep, too much homework.
1,200 parents isn't even enough for one school.
Well, anyway, the kids in kindergarten... first grade and second grade might be hitting the books too hard in their after-school hours. So what they've looked at is a recommendation of what they call the 10-minute rule. So it increases homework gradually as the students age. So what they say is for kindergartners, there shouldn't be any homework. 10 minutes for first graders, 20 minutes for second graders, and on up to the 12th grade, when students can handle about 2 hours of homework a night. Otherwise, their little feelings, they get stressed out.
Which I kind of disagree with what they're saying, because I'm like, what is homework, right? It's just learning at home, right? So we do that in many, many different ways. Like we'll have our kids cook with us, right? And so we're reading a recipe book. We're taking measurements. We're dealing with fractions. We're, you know, and making a real world example. But every time, even if I'm playing a video game with my kids, I'm pointing out the language and the letters and sounding out words with them throughout everything I do. So I'm like, every part of my day is homework with my kids.
I make my kid read books when he gets home from school.
Yeah, that's really important. We do that too.
I tell him when he gets home from school, he's got to read 3 chapters, and if he doesn't, he gets whoopings.
Oh my goodness! No, no, not that.
No, no whoopings.
No, no whoopings for no reading. No, no. Like my youngest kid, he does like a couple. We have some silly little dittos that just trace letters and crap, and we give those to him. And he works on that for like maybe 2 minutes, 3 minutes, just like this little put paper to pencil is all we care about.
So how many whoopings does he get if he doesn't do it?
No whoopings. We don't do that for not homework, not doing homework.
Okay, so what about like if your kid does do something that requires discipline, like what's a good thing? Like timeouts? Is that okay?
The timeouts, I think, can have a place, but ultimately, I find them pretty ineffective.
How about a loss of privileges?
Yeah, loss of privileges, explanations, like telling them. Okay, let me preface this by saying you should have a good reason for the rules you're giving your children. You shouldn't be making just like random arbitrary rules. Like only 3 pieces of bread with dinner. Like why?
You know? No. I have rules and I printed them out, the list of rules. There's only 4 of them.
Awesome.
And I have them posted up in my kid's room so he can see them. And they're things that are like general but easy. Don't be selfish. You know, think about only yourself. You got to think about other people. Respect your parents, you know, mm-hmm. and do what they say. You know, there's a time and a place, understanding that, you know, you can't just do whatever you want, wherever you want. And so whenever he's doing something and I ask him, which rule is this? He thinks about what he's doing and which one that relates to. So they're not like a bunch of specific things. They're like general things, but
exactly. It kind of catch alls. We did ours in 3 rules because one is like, don't hurt living things. Because that covers animals and people. So we can fit that both into one rule. Like we have like cats and dogs, and I don't want my kids to get bit by my dog because he was pulling my dog's tail or something, you know? Mm-hmm. Not really the dog's fault. The fault is with the child. Keep the child from pulling the dog's tail. So that's one of our rules. Don't hurt living things. And then another one is pick up after yourself. When you're done playing with a toy, put it away. And the third one is listen to mom and dad, because any other rule we can make up falls under that rule, you know?
Well, let's see what you think about this discipline method. 27-year-old Whitney White has a 5-year-old son. Her lawyer says it was just...
Is a lawyer involved already?
Her lawyer says it was just a case of discipline that went a little too far. Okay? It doesn't say what he got in trouble with, but when police talked to the child, he says from 0 to 10, he says, it hurt 10. She tased her son.
No! Are you kidding me?
She's in trouble for using a stun gun to punish her 5-year-old. Police say it was a felony injury to a child.
What is wrong with you?
The boy told
a 5-year-old, has she ever been tased? Like, even the police have to go through macing and tasing before they can use it.
I'm betting not. The boy told police that it happened last fall after he got in trouble at school. All right. White is accused of hitting the boy with a belt, which... you know, depending on the situation, I like that as like the last resort. That's as much as I ever do. But
well, it's as much as we ever got as kids. That was our end punishment. When all other punishments were exhausted, we got the belt. And that was like the thing you never wanted to get to. I think I got it twice in my life. And it was like, once you get it once or twice, you learn you never want to get to that point again.
Yeah, exactly. But this is... You know, I want to say that that's not so bad, but I'm kind of afraid that this is like the woman's go-to, because
right.
when the taser is your final step, this is the part that I love about this story the most. Her statement to the police, okay, she actually said this. This is a quote. My anger management class told me that I shouldn't tase him, but we didn't know what else to do.
Wow. Anything but tasing them. Just about.
I could not believe this story because that part is incredible to me because this kind of points out that before she tased him, she's in an anger management class, and so she, like, you know, imagine this. You're a teacher. She raises her hand. Yes, woman in the back. So I've been thinking about when my kid gets out of hand, maybe tasing him. What do you think?
My kid hasn't been cleaning his room lately, and I thought about putting 10,000 volts into his arm. Is that a good idea?
And they're like, no, it's not a good idea. And she goes, well, I'm going to do it. Anyway,
I'm just out of options. I got nothing else to lose. No, it sounds like she went to anger management afterward and they said, dude, tasing was a bad idea. And she's like, well, I didn't know what else to do.
No, I don't know.
You read it a different way. But anyway,
I feel like she checked this out beforehand and they told her, don't do that. And she's like, what other options are there?
That seems far more egregious. I hope it wasn't like that. No, and I understand the anger part of it, especially when a child does something like, I don't know, you hand them a dish and say, carry it with two hands. And 5 minutes later, 5 steps later, they drop the plate, like, you know, on the floor and ruin the food, break the plate, whatever. I get that flash of anger. Like, didn't I just tell you to carry that with two hands? But, you know, there's mistakes happen. You have to understand that you're the adult in the situation and you're the one that's more capable of controlling their reaction. So, you know, be the bigger person. Don't pull out your taser.
Yeah, right? That seems like common sense that this woman doesn't have. The boy and his sibling, a 2-week-old baby, have been placed into a relative's care by CPS. So this is one of those cases that I think they might be on the right track with CPS.
Yeah, you may want to start a few parent classes with her.
All right, we got to take a quick break. When we come back in just a minute, we're going to talk about Native Americans who are angry about fake art.
Is it like a Simon and Garfunkel cover band?
No, I think this is just people are like creating art and they're saying it's Native Americans, but hilarious. It's not. Yeah, Simon and Garfunkel cover band. Just
because his first name's Art.
Gutbuster. We'll be back with more stimulating Native Talk Radio right here at nativetalk.net.
The nativetalk.net radio program with Cliff and Brandon.
Flip us on, then flip them off. Now grab your nets and let's go fishing.
My Lakota na ia waslo and mataha. I'm Lakota and I'm from Standing Rock. And I've got asthma. Mom, Dad, Grandma, Grandpa, I know that you do all that you can to help me. But you might not know about all the different stuff that can make me have an asthma attack. Or all the simple things you can do to fight my asthma. Please don't smoke in the house or the car because secondhand smoke triggers my asthma attacks. If you put my teddy bear in the freezer, it will wipe out the dust mites. And if you dry off my rubber duckies and bath toys, you will get rid of mold, all the things that can cause an attack.
These are just a few of the many things you can do to help your child fight their asthma attacks. To discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack, call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS. A public service message brought to you by the EPA and the Ad Council.
Because I don't want to feel like a fish with no water.
Our House Grief Support Center's mission is to provide the community with grief support services, education, resources, and hope. Our House, with the support of trained volunteer group leaders, helps those grieving find sweetness in the tears. With your help, you too can become a volunteer and help grieving children, teens, and adults embark on the journey to hope and healing. For more information, visit ourhouse-grief.org or call 888-417-1444.
The NativeTalk.net radio program.
Sure, you can always change the station, but you spend a lot of money on your device. Do you really want to wear out the buttons? Now grab your nets and let's go fishing.
Welcome back to the NativeTalk.net radio program.
Oh, thank you. I feel so welcome.
What? Me and Brandon, we chat during the program. What are you talking about? Freezing do me's car kabuda gaba.
I was amazed at the ad. I didn't know about freezing dust mites. I didn't know that putting a teddy bear in the freezer would kill dust mites. That's incredible.
Oh, you were actually listening to the public service
this time. I got my coffee pre-made, so I was able to sit through the break.
Well, welcome back to the show. Now, as we mentioned before the public service announcement, Native Americans are quitting their trade because they can't compete with the low prices of fake artwork. How terrible is that?
Boo! What kind of fake artwork?
Like
Native made art.
Yeah. Have you ever gone to like the Grand Canyon? Have you visited down there?
No, I've never been like to the Southwest at all.
For real?
For real. I think the furthest south I've ever been is L.A., but I was like 10.
Didn't you come visit me down at New Mexico?
Never.
You never went to Silver City?
Not once. I heard stories about a huge hill and some crazy radio station wacky stuff, but I never been down there.
Yeah. KNFT FM, country station. I was the wacky stunt guy for a while before I was the morning show host there. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Yeah, Clifton has actual radio experience, and this is what he was able to come up with.
Yeah. You can look it up. Oh, by the way, I did look up KNFT. My old boss, Matthew Runnels, he lost his radio station.
Not wow. It's because he didn't play enough new music and do enough wacky stunts.
Exactly. It got sold to the rival station in town, so now they got both of them. All right. William Woody is the top law enforcement official at the Fish and Wildlife Service. It doesn't say where, but he does say that.
Yeah, there's a few of those.
He says that as much as 80% of Native American art is not even made by Native American. Instead, it's made in sweatshops in the Philippines.
Yep. They get the design and they just start putting it together.
Yep. And it's being sold in like the gift shops. That's what I was talking about. Down in the Southwest, you go down to like, the Grand Canyon or these roadside shops. And they've got people selling this stuff, and you go, oh, okay, it's Native American. They even have a little card that says, made by such and such person who's a Navajo native. And
Wait, I'm sorry. The fake art is making these cards?
I have no idea. I'm just telling you what I've seen in the gift shops.
Oh, okay, okay. For a minute there, because you're talking about two different things, and I crossed them in my head. I thought you were saying that these sweatshops from the Philippines are creating cards that say "made by so and so from the Navajo tribe."
How do you know they're not?
I hope they're not.
I hope so too. I think this is egregious. I can't believe people are putting this stuff out there because
sense. It makes sense from a marketing standpoint, from someone who cares not at all. Like people in the Philippines, for example, why would they care about Native Americans? There's no reason that a Filipino that's 15 years old gives any cares about, the Native American strife in the United States.
So be honest about it. Be honest about it and say hey, this is a Native American style art by JoJo in Pyongyang,
Mm-hmm.
And I don't
think they export their goods, but whatever.
What is it, North Korea?
Yeah.
But you know what I'm talking about. If you're going to do it, I would be less opposed to it if they would just be honest. But the fact that they're saying that or claiming that this stuff is made by actual Native Americans is troublesome, because how do you know? Yeah.
I find it more than troublesome, and that last point is the most, I'll use your word, egregious, because how do you know, especially if they're printing out authenticity paperwork that's completely bogus, how does a consumer who wants to support Native Americans by buying Native American art, how do they choose the right one?
Exactly. I mean, because I don't want to buy something that I think is legit and find out it's made by, some prostitute in...
Well, JoJo didn't have to be a prostitute, Cliff.
Maybe she's both. She's trying to earn a living here. Okay, she's trying to earn a living, Brandon. Don't knock her choice of career.
Right. Probably has some kids to support. It is the Philippines. We're not racist at all.
Woody says it's incredibly difficult to confirm how much of the art is fake, but Native American artists are concerned. They've called on the U.S. government to take action action against people who produce fake artwork via some type of regulation. I don't know, like maybe import stuff or something. I don't think JoJo's concerned about the U.S. government regulations, but hopefully the customs officials can get on the ball there, you know?
Starting to feel worse and worse for JoJo. She has a really hard life.
And she's like, you just took away half of my income. You know, Philippine prostitutes, love you long time, doesn't earn that
Jesus,
much.
Jesus, Cliff. Let's walk away from the Filipino prostitute of a 15-year-old storyline.
She loves you long time.
It's a bad analogy. We walked ourselves down a really deep hole there. We should start climbing out.
Harvey Pratt is a Southern Cheyenne artist. He said, when Indian artists are undercut by the sale of fake Indian art, the integrity of authentic art and artists suffer. We're being robbed economically, culturally, and spiritually. Now, obviously, Native American art is popular worldwide, and it's a huge part of many tribal economies. You know, a lot of folks don't have a whole lot else going on, and they got time is the thing that they have most on their hands. So they kind of get by honing their craft, getting better at art, and it's in demand all over the country and the world.
And this is a little something that I'm pulling from somewhere in my brain. I probably learned it in that class I took, but if I remember right, most of the people that are selling those artworks, they're the people who made it. Like there's no business that's buying it from suppliers like most businesses go. It's like people who make this at their kitchen table or wherever in their home, and then they take it out to the roadside and set up a shop.
Yeah, your roadside folks are that way, but some people are able to get into
distribution,
yeah,
and
they get
chain.
Shops down in the Southwest and stuff like that.
Or like you were saying, they may export them to other areas in the country or even to different countries if they
can get in there. They'll have like a buyer who might buy, you know, so many of them, and then they do the exports. Well, or they might send them to Santa Fe, where the Indian market there hosts over 1,000 Native American artists from tribes all across the USA. And the market and festival last about a week. So, you know, you go down there. And
wait, where was this?
Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Okay.
Dallin Mabee is the chief operating officer of the Southwest Association for Indian Arts. And he said the market brings about $80 million in that 1 week to the New Mexican economy right there.
That sounds incredible. I wonder if they have fry bread.
Seriously?
Dude, it's delicious.
Yeah, that's not racist at all, white man.
All right, you know what? Have you had fry bread?
Teach 'em, pale face brother, all about red
this
man.
This is you, Brandon. You have deeply offended me.
Have you ate it? Have you actually sampled it?
What made the red man red?
No, I haven't.
Oh my God, that's why you're being so jerky about this. I went to a powwow in Davis, because all authentic powwows are in Davis.
Did you eat any bugs?
There might have been a few that landed on the fry bread, and it was so good it didn't stop me. But no, it was amazing. I got to watch dances and singing and got to, you know, be part of a powwow. But they had a food truck set up, you know, over yonder. And that line, man, that line was something out of a IMAX movie theater. It just stretched on forever. And it was worth it.
You
every
know,
fry second.
Bread is not even authentic. They did that.
I don't care.
Because they
you
gave
know what?
Them cheap grains and flour.
Yeah,
the U.S. government, when they were marching them across the Trail of Tears.
Look, you guys can rally against me with your pitchforks and your torches all you want. But when I go out running, I wear Adidas running shoes. I don't wear moccasins. OK, I'm not saying moccasins are bad. I'm saying that I prefer Adidas running shoes. They're not traditional, but they're better for running. And when I eat food out of a food truck, I prefer it to be fry bread with some delicious honey and some powdered sugar. Oh my God, I need to go to a powwow. We have to go get some fry bread.
Yeah, we got a powwow coming up. But, you know, I'm concerned at your racist remarks. It's almost as racist as this.
Okay, I'm expecting a very important delivery at the house. So could you please call me if it arrives? I'll give you my cell number.
Okay, yes. No problem. Give me number.
Okay, 401-555-1125.
4...
40
4 4-0.
No, I was just repeating the 4. 1-4.
1-4.
All right, let's start over. 4-0-1.
4-0-1. 1-4-0-1.
Yes. 5-5-5.
5-5-5.
That was painless. Okay, 1-1-2-5.
1-1-2-5.
There you go. You got it.
1-5-5.
What?
You say 1-1-2-5s. 1-5-5.
No, no, not 1-1 and 2-5s. 2-1s.
2-1-1-1-2-5.
Oh, my God.
Okay. How many ones?
No, I'm not giving you quantities of the numbers. I'm giving you the numbers. 1-1-2-5. Those are the last 4 numbers.
Okay. 1.
1-1.
1-1.
2.
2.
5.
5. Oh, I see. 1-1-2-5.
Yes, 1-1-2-5. All right, now read the number back to me.
Let me get my pen.
Wah, wah.
That is what you sound like when you talk about fry bread.
All right, well, try it, and you'll change your opinion, I guarantee it.
Anyway, Dallin Mabee says that the Native American art industry generates millions of dollars a year throughout North America. The First Peoples Fund estimates that about a third of Native Americans are involved in traditional arts. So there's a lot of folks involved in this. And most of
them... Wow, really?
Yeah, well, I mean, the poorer areas where there aren't that many people, that's where they are. And they depend on the art sales to live, you know?
Yeah.
But with all of these knockoffs that have flooded the market, Indians can't sell their products because, it costs more money, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So what ends up happening is the artists just quit making art because they can no longer make a living doing it. And what that means is now they start to lose touch with their traditions because if you don't flex that muscle, it gets weak. The Indian Arts and Crafts Act was passed in 1935 and amended twice, and it does ban the sale or display of art that falsely claims to be Native American. So they do have, like, laws, but it's not being enforced very well.
Sounds common.
Back in early July, a case about fake Native art was heard in New Mexico. 4 people were accused of selling fake Native American jewelry. The jewelry was actually made in the Philippines, of course. You know, JoJo's back at it again. They can't stop the woman. If they're convicted, the suspects could face a fine of $250,000, 5 years in prison, or both. So,
poor JoJo.
JoJo doesn't care. It's the people in the United States that are dealing with that.
Well, they deserve it. I mean, honestly, It is, like they said earlier, it's a theft not just of heritage and tradition, but of present foundation for their life. Like, you're taking away their income, you know? Haven't you taken enough?
That's how I feel, but cases involving Native American art that are fake aren't even usually brought to trial. Udall says there are only 2 enforcement officers. 2! In the entire country that investigate fake Native art. 2. U.S. Customs and Immigration enforcement officials are trained to keep stolen cultural artifacts and fake electronics from entering the country, but there are 0 programs to stop fake Native American art at the border. He added, it
just reminds me of the grave robbing stories that we did about a year ago, that they were talking about stealing from burial sites and exporting them out of the country to sell to other places. And nobody cared. Nobody tried to do anything in the government, you know?
No, they just don't care. You said it. He added that there are very few people who even know enough about Native American art to identify it as fake.
I probably couldn't. If you laid a 2 in front of me, I mean, maybe if the materials were obviously like cheap plastic on one of them and the other one was like carved jade stone, like I would get that.
Yeah,
you know,
but it's hard. It's hard to spot. So I hope they do something about it, though. Anyway, well, thanks for listening. That'll do it for us today. We'll be back next week with more stimulating Native Talk Radio, available online at nativetalk.net. Please share the show with your friends. Just send them to our website, like us on Facebook, and check us out on the YouTube channel. As always, you know, send in your comments. You can comment on Facebook or email us, podcast@nativetalk.net. Have a great week.
Why do you never see elephants hiding in trees? Because they're really good at it. You're listening to nativetalk.net. Now grab your nets and let's go fishing.